Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Tabreed fourth quarter 2018 earnings call. I'll now hand you over to Fouad Al-Sarkal, Vice President, Corporate Communications. You may begin.
Hi, and thank you. This is Saad Jamal Al-Sarkal from Tabreed. On behalf of Tabreed management team, I welcome you all and thank you for joining us for the fourth quarter and full year 2018 results conference call. Before we begin our presentation, I would like to remind you that some of the statements made in today's conference call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. Kindly refer to slide 2 of the presentations for the detailed disclaimer. I would now request you to turn to slide 3 for today's agenda. On today's call, Jassim, our CEO, will first provide an overview of the fourth quarter 2018 performance and key events. Following that, Steve, our CFO, will discuss the financial performance in more detail. Jassim will then conclude the presentation, and we will open the lines for your questions. With that, I'll now hand over to Jassim to begin today's presentation. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Saad, and thank you, everyone, for joining us today. I'm on slide 5, and I'd like to begin by highlighting our full year 2018 performance. Full year 2018 revenue grew 3.4% year on year, led by similar increase in our chilled water revenues. 2018 has seen a 10.5% increase in EBITDA. As a result, our EBITDA margin expanded from a 45% last year to a 48% margin in 2018. We connected 9,900 RTs of capacity in the fourth quarter of 2018, mostly at the Pearl in Qatar and the Areemi Mall in Oman. Total capacity additions this year have been about 39,000 tons, or 60% of our earlier announced guidance of 65,000 tons. With our fourth plant in Oman becoming fully operational at the Areemi Mall, our total number of plants across the GCC has reached 74 plants. In line with our policy of paying out dividends as per the growth in the business, we are pleased to propose a dividend of 9.5 fils, which is 1.5 fils higher than last year. Further, it translates into a payout ratio of approximately 60%. Finally, for this slide, I would like to outline our revised capacity guidance for the next 2 years. Based on current signed contracts in hand, we expect to connect at least 65,000 tons of new capacity over 2019 and 2020. This guidance updates and replaces the guidance we gave a year ago. Turning to the next slide, on slide 6. You've seen this slide in the past, and this slide basically gives the usual overview of the company. Tabreed is contributing to the region's growth through efficient and environmentally friendly cooling, enabling sustainable development. As our business grows, so does our positive environmental footprint. We currently operate 74 plants across the region, delivering over 1.1 million tons of cooling. Our operations saved around 2 billion kilowatt hours of energy consumption in 2018 alone, enough to power 112,000 homes per year, and equivalent to reducing about 1 million tons of CO2 emissions. Moving on, slide 7. Tabreed is the only publicly traded district cooling company in the world. The UAE is our base of operations, where we have presence in 6 emirates, providing 773,000 tons of cooling to our customers through our 63 plants in the UAE. In addition to the UAE, we work with strategic partners in 4 other GCC countries. We have a total of 11 plants outside the UAE, providing over 358,000 tons of cooling to customers. During the quarter, we connected a new plant at Al Areemi Mall in Muscat, Oman. This takes our total number of plants, as I mentioned, to 74 plants across the GCC. Around 2/3 of our capacity is consolidated, while the rest is equity accounted as associates and joint ventures. Moving now to slide 8. This slide outlines our capacity growth trends across the region. If you recall, at the beginning of 2018, we announced that we expected to add at least 65,000 tons of new capacity by 2019. During 2018, we added 39,000 tons of capacity across the region. Of this capacity, 8,000 tons were added at the consolidated level, and 31,000 tons almost through the joint ventures and associate entities. As I have already mentioned, based on the current signed contracts in hand, we expect to connect 65,000 tons over 2019 and 2020. Of this, we expect the split to be the split between consolidated level and equity accounted joint ventures to be a 50-50 split. Tabreed continues to demonstrate its ability to deliver steady increase in contracted capacity in the region, driven by the growth in our key markets across the GCC, and by successfully leveraging our regional network to take advantage of commercial opportunities as and when they present themselves. Moving to slide 9. This slide basically recaps the evolution of our performance over the years. To summarize, Tabreed is a stable utility infrastructure business with long-term contracts with high-profile customers. This provides clear visibility of future earnings and cash flows. We currently have 90% of our capacity contracted for at least the next 10 years. And about 70% of our revenues are derived from fully government-owned and partially government-owned organizations. Tabreed has a track record of delivering profitable growth. Net income and EBITDA has increased by 7 and 8% per annum, respectively, since 2015. Our stable earnings enable Tabreed to maintain an attractive dividend payout. In line with our commitment to provide sustainable returns to our shareholders, the proposed dividend of 9.5 fils represents a 60% payout compared to a payout of 54% last year. I'd now like to hand over to Steve to talk about the financial results in some more detail.
Thank you, Jassim. Good afternoon, everybody. Nice to talk to you again. Turning to slide 11, the income statement, I'll just highlight a few key points on our results for 2018. Tabreed recorded overall revenue growth of 3.4%, with chilled water revenue increasing by 3.3%. The main factors driving chilled water revenue growth were the acquisition of S&T, entering the consolidated results and revenue, new connections in Oman and Bahrain, and the impact of the CPI indexation on our capacity revenues. Revenues for our value chain businesses increased by 4.2%. The share of associates and joint ventures declined by 39 million dirhams, or 29.9% on a year earlier, mainly reflecting three things. First, the impact of a new accounting standard, IFRS 15, which reduced the contribution from Katakul by 50 million dirhams. Second, a 13 million dirham reduction from Saudi Tabreed, reflecting lower income and a lower share of the joint venture following the disposal in the first quarter. And finally, the impact of S&T Cool, which moved from joint venture treatment to full consolidation. Other income mainly reflects the one-off gain on the dilution of the stake in Saudi Tabreed, though there are a number of other largely offsetting items included in this line. Overall, net income in 2018 was 428 million dirhams, up 7% on 2017, and EBITDA was 694 million, up 10% on the year earlier. Margins rose in 2018, notably our EBITDA margin increased to 48%. We'll now look at the statement of final position, financial position on the next slide. Significant movements in the balance sheet as at 31st of December 2018 compared to the end of 2017 were as follows. The increase in fixed assets primarily represent consolidation of S&T after the acquisition of 50% of the company from Aldar. The decrease in associates and joint ventures mainly reflects dividends received, the consolidation of S&T, the 5% dilution of our shareholding in Saudi Tabreed, and the IFRS 15 adjustment for Katakul. The increase in receivables reflects consolidation of S&T and the impact of VAT, which is not included in revenue but is included in receivables. Movement in the debt represents the impact of scheduled repayments through refinancing of our borrowings in the fourth quarter of 2018 and strong cash flow generation, which further enabled debt reduction. Gearing at the end of 2018 was 39% compared to 40% at the end of 2017. Turning to the next slide, we'll now take a look at the cash flow statement. So slide 13. Tabreed continues to generate strong cash flows which are being utilised to invest in growth and provide dividend returns to our shareholders. Operating cash flow was strong at 662 million dirhams, an increase of 19% compared to 2017, and that reflected higher profitability and an improved working capital position. Investment activities primarily reflect 250 million dirhams paid for the acquisition of S&T and CapEx on new plants in Oman and other expansions. This is partly offset by dividends received and proceeds from the 5% dilution of our shareholding in Saudi Tabreed. Financing cash flows reflect the dividend payment in the first quarter of 2018 and debt activity through the year. Our cash generation ability remains robust, driven by long-term price certain contracts, enable us to propose a higher dividend to the shareholders. Let me now turn to developments with our debt portfolio on slide 14. Key points to note. First of all, Tabreed has 3 billion dirhams of gross debt and a gearing ratio of 39%. Our net debt has been reduced over the years, reflecting our strong cash flow generation. Following the refinancing of our corporate debt with a 7-year Sukuk and new corporate loans, we have relatively light scheduled debt repayments until 2025, when the Sukuk becomes due for repayment. The new Sukuk and corporate bank debt delivers improved balance sheet efficiency, lower longer-term financing cost, and longer-term maturity. With investment-grade ratings and a successful Sukuk, Tabreed has accessed global debt capital markets and reduced new international investors to Tabreed. Net debt and net debt to EBITDA have declined since 2015 as debt has been repaid and EBITDA has grown. Our return on capital employed and return on equity have also improved since 2015 due to rising profitability. That completes the review of our 2018 results, and I will now hand back to Jasser.
Thank you, Steve. So on slide 16, before we open the lines for Q&A, let me just make a few closing comments. As a stable utility business model, Tabreed continues to deliver strong financial and operation performance with rising profitability, stable earnings, and robust cash flows. In line with our commitment to enhance shareholder returns, we are recommending a dividend of 9.5 fils per share for 2018, translating into a 60% payout. In January 2018, we provided capacity addition guidance of 65,000 tons to be added over the two years, and we delivered 60% of the guided capacity in 2018. We have now updated that guidance to add 65,000 tons over 2019 and 2020. Tabreed has a flexible capital structure to fund future growth. As we have mentioned before, we will look at opportunities within and beyond the GCC, and we will provide you with updates as and when such opportunities materialize. Today, Tabreed is stronger than ever. We have a stronger shareholder base and a management team with significant industry experience. We are working on various fronts from business development to operations to help drive growth and improve profitability. By that, this ends the presentation, and we can now open the line for Q&A.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now start the Q&A session. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on a telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have the first question. Our first question comes from Michael Said from SI Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I had a couple of questions. The first one regarding the additional 39,000 RTs expected in 2020, if my numbers are correct. Can you shed more light where the location will be at, to be more in the UAE or in Qatar, Saudi? Second one regarding the dividend payment. So as you mentioned, the payout ratio is currently at 60%, which is quite higher than the last 4 years average. So I would like to know if this can be sustainable. And my last question regarding the CPI. So in 2018, we saw an average CPI of 3.5% for the UAE. So should this be positively reflected on 2019 numbers? Should we be expecting margin expansion or growth stemming from the 3.5, given that 2017 was more or less below the 2%? Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. So taking each of those turns in those good questions in turn. The first question was about capacity additions over the next 2 years. As Jassim has said, we're aiming to add 65,000 tons in 2019 and 20. And we expect that to be approximately half and half between consolidated entities, which is most of our UAE plants, Bahrain and Oman, and our associate and joint ventures, which is Qatar, Saudi Arabia, being the principal cases. So we don't give guidance beyond that in terms of exactly when it will occur over the 2 years, that capacity addition, or exactly which joint ventures or consolidated entities it might lie in. So I'm afraid you'll have to bear with us. I think we've given you the guidance that we can. And we'll certainly update you on a quarter-by-quarter basis as capacity is added. In terms of the dividend payout, the ratio at 60%, as you say, it is rightly, correctly said, it is slightly higher than in the last 3 or 4 years. It's certainly, our intention and the shareholders and the board's intention is to maintain dividends and grow them in line with the business, as we've said. So whenever we're taking decisions about what we're going to recommend to the shareholders, we do so with a clear understanding that it will be sustainable. So whilst we can't sit here today and tell you exactly what the dividend payout or levels is going forward, that will obviously be a decision taken on a year-by-year basis. The track record that we're established, we're very clearly keen to continue with, and it is sustainable. In terms of the CPI, I'm not sure exactly what the numbers are yet. I think it's looking like less than 3% in the UAE and Bahrain potentially. Whatever that number does turn out to be for the full year 2018, we will pass on in accordance with the contract terms that we have to our customers during the course of 2019.
Okay. Perfect. And for this 2020 capacities, it's already contracted, right?
It's all 65,000 tons is contracted, so it's the minimum we hope to achieve. We will always look to do better, but yes, that is all fully contracted.
Yeah, anything coming from the Expo 2020 or no? Not.
We're not directly involved in that, and as I said, we don't go further really in terms of explaining where that might come from, but we will let you know as soon as it's actually been delivered.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. Our next question comes from Metehan Mete from Waha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations for the results. I wanted to ask you about a few things. First of all, I thought like the revenues were up only like around 2% year-on-year, which seemed a bit low given that you have added capacity, you have acquired S&T Cooling, so like hence consolidated. And there's also CPI effects. So I was looking at least 5-6% that should be revenue growth year on year for fourth quarter 2018. And the other thing is that, are you looking at any acquisitions within the UAE space? I mean, like the Aldar has further district cooling assets in the newly acquired TDIC assets, and MR also has district cooling assets. You also see like the possibility of like the DIC maybe looking to offload some stakes in the Emicool, even though they recently acquired the remaining stake from the UPP. Thanks a lot.
Hi, Metehan. Good to hear you again. Hope you're all well. First question on the revenues. I think it's important to note that you're right. There were some significant capacity additions, but most of them in 2018 were outside of the consolidated entities. So we're not seeing a huge amount of capacity addition impacts on consolidated revenues. CPI was less than 2% when we built in S&T. So overall, I think it's more or less as we expected it. I don't think we were expecting the kind of revenue growth that you were suggesting, based on where those capacity additions are sitting. In terms of acquisitions, we always say we're always keen to look at acquisitions and avenues to grow the company. It's a key requirement. And we have conversations with lots of people lots of the time. You won't expect me to, and I'm not going to comment on specific opportunities, but we look, and if an opportunity arises and we can close something at good value for our shareholders, we surely will, and we'll surely tell you about it when we do.
Thank you so much.
Our next question comes from Didier Arora from Daman Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Didier. Most of my questions have been answered. Just one more thing. So what is the impact of the consolidation on your, I would say, the operating profit? That's it. Thank you.
Sorry, Didier, I don't really understand the question. The impact of consolidation of what?
The acquisition you have done of...
The acquisition of S&T.
Associates, yes.
Thanks, Didier. Overall, that added about 12 million dirhams to net income in 2018. Slightly higher figures, obviously, for revenue. I don't actually have all of those details with me, but if you want them, we can surely provide them after the call.
No, that's fine. Sorry, I missed you on the CPI side. So can you clarify, would you increase the rates by the CPI last year in 2018 or not?
We do every year, absolutely. We... to the extent that our contracts have CPI indexation in them, and most of them do, we will pass on the CPI increase through our capacity tariffs during the course of 2019, when we know the final CPI figure for 2018.
So in 2018, the growth we have seen in revenue is mainly from the CPI side for the full year versus 2017?
Yeah, what I said is that we had the full year impact of S&T. We had the impact of indexation for CPI from 2018, at the end of 2017, which was just under 2%. But we didn't have much contribution from capacity additions, because most of the capacity additions in 2018 were in our associate and joint venture companies.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Yawar Saeed from Shua Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen. My question is on dividends. Although you have announced a very good dividend payout ratio, my question is on how you intend to finance it, because the cash flow level is quite low on balance sheet as of December 2018 first, and my second question is on the performance of associates. As of 2018, all the associates' performance, the profitability is down, like more than 25% for Qatar, Tabreed, and Saudi Tabreed, and other Tabreed. Why is it so? I guess the financial and the IFRS impact is not that much, or is there anything else apart from the IFRS impact? And do you see the performance to further deteriorate from the associates going ahead? That's it.
Okay, in terms of the dividend payout, the question I think was how are we going to finance that? We're certainly not going to aim to finance it out of cash on the balance sheet at the end of 18. We generate very strong cash flows, and I think you've seen that 2018 was over 650 million dirhams of cash operating cash flow, up about 20% on the year before. So we certainly have the capacity to finance our dividends, cover our financing costs, and meet our ongoing capex requirements from our operating cash flow. And to the extent that we don't, we have a 600 million dirham revolving credit facility that is available to us if we need it. So we won't have any issue at all in terms of financing the dividend. The second question, what was on the profitability of the associates and joint ventures, down as you noted, by around 29% in 2018. The biggest impact there is indeed our IFRS 15, which has reduced the contribution from Qatar Cool by around 50 million dirhams, and that is entirely due to the accounting change. The second big impact is coming from the fact that S&T Cool is no longer an associate company. It's moved into the consolidated part of the revenue, the net income statement, and so it's come out of the associate numbers. So those are the two main factors driving that. And I think the third part of that question was in terms of the outlook for profitability of the associate and joint ventures, and I think, you know, they have the same business model as our consolidated entities. We expect them to continue to perform well, to improve performance on a year by year basis, and that will continue. But as I've just explained, there's just a couple of significant one-off changes which affect 2018.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Karim Abbas from Franklin Templeton. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, my question is about Engie. So the stake was sold about 18 months ago, and at the time, the official statement kind of said that Tabreed will be one of Engie's main regional development partners, and Engie expects to lead rapid growth through Tabreed in new emerging markets like India, Egypt, and Turkey. So at the time, people got really excited, and you saw the reaction in the market. And since then, we've been asked for, you know, to be patient and that these things take time, and, you know, the relationship is, you know, it's certainly beneficial, but really nothing has materialized. So my question is, should we treat Engie just as a silent partner, or do you still think that there is room for growth on the back of this partnership, on the back of this new shareholding? And perhaps maybe the market deserves a new kind of statement on that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for the question on Engie. As you're all aware, Engie took a significant stake in the company, 40% in Tabreed last year.
And just to put things in context, I mean, ENGIE is one of the largest energy companies in the world, and it's facilitating unique growth opportunities. We are working closely with ENGIE to harness their operational experience when it comes to energy efficiencies and operational excellence. And we've said to the market before, our current financials are very strong. We have a strong balance sheet. We have strong EBITDA margins. And so we have a very strong foundation for growth. We have a big component of the market in the GCC. And now we're exploring markets outside the GCC. We continue to explore the markets in India and Egypt. And once we secure an opportunity which meets our expectations and shareholder returns, we will announce them in due course. So I think, I mean, for these things to work, it's not a switch on and off where you have a new shareholder and then everything falls into place. It does take time to ramp up and to close opportunities when they present themselves.
So has, not to belabor the point, but has the initial statement changed? Is Tabreed still expected to see rapid growth through the relationship with ENGIE in markets such as India, Egypt, and Turkey, or is it more about those operational efficiencies and let's, you know, look at this as a, you know, a gradual creator of value?
No, again, I mean, the statement is ENGIE, again, is a major shareholder in the company. We will utilize ENGIE for opportunities outside the GCC, and these all opportunities need to make sense for our shareholders, and we're exploring several opportunities, and once they are inked in on paper, we will make those announcements, we see a lot of potential with ENGIE, and we're excited with the partnership.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Our next question comes from Rakesh Tripathi from Franklin Templeton Investment. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good evening. I had a couple of questions. First one was on your organic revenue growth in FY18, the like-to-like growth. Second one was, I think in the earlier calls you had mentioned that bulk of the capacity addition when you guided for 65,000 tons addition in 18-19, the bulk of the addition in 18 was equity accounted, so we were expected to see more of consolidated capacity addition in 2019. Do you stick to that, or do you feel the 50-50 split sort of would play out over both 2019 and 20? And the third one is just for my understanding, if you could briefly talk about why the IFRS 15 implementation has impacted Qatar Cool in particular, and the revenues and income from that associate.
Thank you, Rakesh. In terms of organic growth, I'm not exactly sure what you mean by that, but the main contributors to revenue growth have indeed been organic, in the sense that it's CPI and some capacity additions. There is an impact of S&T moving over from associates into consolidated revenue, which is contributing to some of that. I don't have those numbers exactly with me, but if you'd like to get them after the call, then we can, as I said earlier, we can provide a bit more background on that. In terms of the capacity additions, the 65,000 tonnes, as Jassim said, we were expecting it to be more or less 50-50 between consolidated and associates. And probably more of that will be in 19 in the consolidated area and perhaps more in the associate area in 2020.
because that was always our expectation, given that we'd had a big contribution from associates this year, 2018. We were expecting to see a bit more in the consolidated entity in 2019. So we continue to hold that view. And your last question on the impact of IRS 15 on Katakul. Katakul has a number of its charges which are raised on an upfront basis, paid on an upfront basis by customers, but they are for services that will be provided over the life of typically a 25-year contract. So what IFRS 15 is doing is smoothing out those upfront revenue items across the life of the contract. So that's why there's an adjustment there. Katakul is the only company in our portfolio that has charges on that basis, so that's why it's only Katakul that's impacted by this particular standard.
Great, thanks. That clarifies this. So regarding the organic revenue, the first question that I asked, just to clarify, I wanted to understand what was the like-for-like growth if we were to, say, remove the contribution from S&T Cool.
Yeah, and I said I don't have that with you, but we can certainly provide it to you afterwards.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Abdul Rahman Al Ottoman from Al Rams Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Could you please just give us an explanation of the other gains and lose in the income statements? The amount just jumped from 2.35 million to 4.3 million. That's it. Thanks.
So other gains and losses in the income statement, essentially it was not very much in 2017, but was over 30 million dirhams in 2018. And the main contributor to that was the profit on disposal of some of our shares in Saudi Tabreed. So as you recall, in early 2018, a new shareholder was introduced to Saudi Tabreed, a government shareholder, and to accommodate that shareholder, each of the existing shareholders sold part of their holding in Saudi Tabreed, and that gave rise to a profit for Tabreed of just over 32 million dirhams. So that's the main factor that is going through that line.
Okay, thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. Our next question comes from Didier Arora from Daman Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, just a question on the dividends. So this year you have increased the payout, I think, from 55% to around 60%. So can we expect this to be a sustainable payout ratio going forward? Given you are generating around close to 11% on a free cash flow basis, or we can expect a further increase in the payout ratio in 2019-2020? And also, what can be the CAPEX expectation in 2019 and 2020? Thank you.
Thank you, Didier. In terms of the dividend payout ratio, as you've noted, it is slightly higher this year at 60% compared to the previous year. Our stated policy is to grow the dividend in line with the business, and that is what we intend to deliver. Whether the payout ratio will be at 60 or 55 or around that level, of course, is a decision we'll take on a year-by-year basis, depending on the cash flow needs of the company. So, the sort of pattern you've seen in recent years of around 50%, probably slightly higher, it's not a bad starting assumption, but obviously it can flex on a year-by-year basis, depending on the cash flow needs of the company and the decision of the board and the shareholders. So let's see how that plays out over time. I've just forgotten the second question now as I'm talking.
CapEx.
So the CapEx that we expect, we've been averaging around 200 million dirhams of CapEx a year based on the committed projects that we have. And you should note that almost all of our CapEx is discretionary because we don't have significant maintenance CapEx. It's all associated with growth and new projects. For the 65,000 tons that we have described for the next 2 years, something that's not, you know, in the sort of 150 million dirhams, what we've been seeing over the last 2 or 3 years is not a bad starting point. That figure will be higher to the extent that we add more tons than the guidance that we're giving today. But around 150 million a year is not a bad figure for that.
Our next question comes from Andrin Giovanni from Ashish Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the call. I wanted to know three things. One, how do you see the cash flow cycle and if you're feeling any stress in the system? The second is, do you expect to see further dilution in stake in Saudi Tabreed? And lastly, like, I'd like to know the management's view on the current level of ROICs and if you see any room for improvement.
I couldn't hear your first and third question, but I'll answer your second question if I'm correct. The question was if we're expecting further dilution in Saudi Tabreed. And to answer that, last year we reduced our shareholding from 25% to 20%. Not because we saw an opportunity to reduce our shareholding, but we saw an opportunity to bring on a strategic investor that will further support Saudi Tabreed in capturing more growth and more opportunities in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is our second most important market after the UAE, so we're not expecting any further dilution in Saudi Tabreed. If you can repeat your first and third question so we can hear them again.
Sure. So how is the cash flow cycle, and do you feel any stress in the system?
If you mean by that working capital and receivables, I think the answer to that is no. We're not seeing any significant stress in the system. If you look at our operating cash flow and our working capital cycle, results for 2018, they, I think, demonstrate quite clearly very strong cash flow generating capability in the company. We have, from time to time, on a small immaterial level, some issues with our customers. But you just bear in mind, I mean, we're providing an essential service. People can't live without cooling, and they look at what we provide as a utility, not unlike electricity and water, as something that needs to be paid for at the top of the waterfall. So it's not been an issue for us of any significance at all.
Sure.
What was the third question?
So the third question is, how does management look at the current level of ROIC, and what do you guys think about it? You think there's some room for improvement?
What, ROIC, return on invested capital?
Invested capital.
Is that
the question? Yes, that's correct.
Well, I think we've given you some figures on returns, the returns that we look at in any event in the presentation, and it's rising, and ROIC is also rising. And I think there is a tendency for that to happen with CPI indexation of contracts. That does give rise to some increase. I think we've said before that our return expectations are low double digits in new projects. So, I mean, overall, I think the levels that we're at the moment are sustainable, possibly increasing slightly, but certainly sustainable where they are today.
Thank you.
That helps. Our next question comes from Yogesh Suneja from ADCB Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for the call. I just want to understand if you have any debt covenants related to certain milestones to be achieved in terms of your net debt to EBITDA ratio, or even if it is not included in debt covenants, internally do you have certain targets to reach a certain level of net debt to EBITDA ratio in next 2 to 3 years?
Okay, well, in terms of what we have in our facilities now, we don't have any debt covenants. We used to in the facilities we had before we refinanced with the Sukuk and a new term loan in the fourth quarter of last year. So no, we don't, nor do we have specific targets. What you will appreciate is that we've just been rated as investment grade by Moody's and Fitch in the fourth quarter of last year. And we intend to maintain that investment grade status. So to the extent that leverage targets are important for the ratings, then they're important for us.
Okay, thank you. That's it from my side.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have no other question. Dear speakers, back to you for the conclusion.
Now that concludes our 2018 earnings call. Tabriz looks forward to interacting with you at our earnings calls, conference calls and investor conferences. Should you have any further questions, please do not hesitate to contact us. Have a great day, and thank you once again for joining this call.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our conference call. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.